am broken, I am encouraged. Being cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest word assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Lord, it is my earnest desire that I will not preach myself today. Lord, let your word come today. Let your power rest on your word. Let it flow through me. Let signs and wonders follow. For in Jesus' name I pray. We may have our seat. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Okay. I consider it an honor and a privilege to bring to you this morning God's word. I do not take it for granted. I like to thank Pastor Gwenga Shafe. I've been privileged to be under his leadership and under his shepherding and pastoring for 3.5 years now. And it has been of tremendous benefits to my life. One thing I've not lacked is direction from God under his ministry. I ask that as I speak this morning, direction will come for someone. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Pastor Wumi. She has not just been a pillar of support to this ministry and to Pastor Gwenga as a husband. I consider her as also a source of inspiration for us here as well. And I'd like to use this moment for us to appreciate her with a hand of appreciation. This morning, I'm going to be taking a topic called divine direction. So let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandment, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed before me. Verse 21, please. And they tested not when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock also, and the waters gushed out. He cleaved the rock also, and the water gushed out. As it is said, there's just one step between life and death. Direction is very key for us as believers, because we're not just on our own. We're not just walking through life as people that don't know what we're doing. We have a shepherd. We have someone we have proclaimed Lord and Savior of our life. The Yorubas will say, says, Isi Shekon lo wa laarin iye ati iku ni ojo oni o ma je ka gbe ese si iku lenu. It's a very strong word, and I can remember back then growing up, we will have morning devotions. My parents will pray this during the course of the prayer. I will want to return back to school, and my mom will say, as you're going back, whatever they have earmarked on the road will not be your portion. It's so vital, because one wrong step can wreck a whole destiny. One wrong step can delay destiny. That is why it is necessary to obtain divine direction from God. This also reminds me of a prayer I started learning early when I became a Christian. And I was praying this prayer as a prayer of consecration. And it goes thus. It says, Lord, where you are not sending me to, may I not go there. What you cannot give me, may I not have. Where you are not taking me to, may I never get there. It's very important, because I can remember very early on then, I didn't have the opportunity to, my year one to year three, actually be a Christian or probably be a believer. But my final year in school, I would say I rather took it very serious. And I had a relationship with God. And I could remember I was going for a youth service, and they had posted me to Jigawa. And my mom said, there's Boko Haram, and this is going to be a very troubling time. You can't go to Jigawa. You know what? I'll pay 80,000 naira for someone in NYC office and relocate you back to Lagos. I said, don't try it. I told her, I said, don't try it. Because at that time, in as much as I was still very young, these kinds of prayers came back to me. I said, don't try it. One wrong step can wreck a destiny. I got to NYC camp, Jigawa. And while I was going, they gave me a letter to on health grounds so that I can redeploy. And they were calling me every day, okay, have you submitted, have you submitted, have you submitted? I said, I'm not submitting it. There's no point. I'm not submitting it. I'll stay in Jigawa. And I could remember every morning, like about 4 a.m. before they call us out, I used to go out and go and pray. And I just decided, okay, let me... I don't know where it came from, but I eventually went to submit it. I think out of the very much pressure that was coming from their end. And I went to submit it. And 2 days after, I was praying on the field that morning, and God told me, say, go and retrieve that letter. He said, retrieve the letter, retrieve the report, do not submit it. I retrieved it, and it was, I was surprised because obviously I told them I'd submitted it. But at the end of the day, I got redeployed, unknowingly, because I retreated it, that even not submitted the names of the people that were ready for redeployment. But on the day of passing out, I mean, whatever, PPA, sending to PPA, I just got a, someone just called me up, oh, you have a letter, I do not know who must have probably done that, because I followed it, okay, you've been redeployed to AKT. And I said, okay, that's fine. I went back to Lagos, and they were saying, okay, don't worry, wait for Lagos. Lagos is coming. I said, no, I'm going to AKT, if that's the case. At least your will is done, and I'm no longer in knot. Why am I? Why am I saying this? Or why am I emphasizing on this? Because I could remember that a very, very pivotal time in my destiny and what I'm doing today was established when I was in youth service. I prayed, I fasted, I sought books, I read books, I did all kind of things. And I could remember that there was a friend of mine then in campus. As at the time when we were graduating, he was given the award of the most enterprising student in campus. And we used to talk a lot. And after NYC, we got talking. He had a job that they were paying him in dollars as at then. We had barely finished school. That was where he served. That was where they luckily retained him. And he was there. And all of a sudden, 3 years after, he then tells me he's going to public speaking. I said, who told you public speaking? He said, I can speak. I said, who told you public speaking? Because this is a guy that we pray on the field together. I knew nothing jack about business. But as I speak today, this is a person that he resigned his job, paying in dollars, fantastic job. He was a sales rep, getting to a sales executive. And at that time, I think dollar was about 160. When he gets paid about $1,200, he takes us out. At that time, we were about to rent a house. Because he was the one that had money, we joined resources together, we rented a house. And he also told me, I'm resigning and I'm going to public speaking. You can't speak to a made-up mind. It's no point. The Holy Spirit won't speak to a made-up mind. There's no point. I tried all I could, but it happens to seem that he took his decision and went forward. And he goes to us that, well, today I don't hear of him. He doesn't call me. I tried to send him a message a few times, and he still hasn't made any tremendous progress. This was someone that the unbelievers in his room at that time, he took them for a lunch, and they were asking him, how are you doing it? He could sell anything. In fact, Pastor Igo here was one of his apprentices. He could sell anything. But today, I can't hear of him any longer. That's how vital one step. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just as the sheep cannot tell the shepherd where to go, we are to be very much dependent on God's leading. The cow that leaves the north and tells the herdsman that I am on my way to Lagos will obviously not make it to Lagos. It will either be torn into pieces by wild animals, or be crushed by trailers on the way, or get into the way of a stranger. And God helps it if that stranger is me. We'll rather sell it or we'll make a feast. And I think I have a lot of brothers who will be joining me in that. Please, sirs and ma, I came to tell you that if you have a vision from God and you are confused about the next step, you need divine direction. That's what I came to tell you. If you have a vision from God, you are confused about the next step, you need divine direction. So why do we need divine direction? Why do we need divine direction? Number one, your mind is too poor to be followed. Your mind is too poor to be followed. Your mind is carnal and cannot judge or receive what God is saying. It is too poor to be followed. Isaiah 55. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Next verse. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The ways of God are higher than our ways. And we can't figure it out on our own. We can't. You can't think it up on your own. Please, Psalm 13. David was obviously praying in prayer in Psalm 13. 13, please. Psalm 13. Okay, let me read it from here. How long will thou forget me, O God? Forever, how long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David was frustrated. Yeah, he was saying, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? Your mind is too poor to be followed. You cannot. See, your mind is the seat of intellect, is the seat of your emotions. It is too poor. It is carnal. It is too poor to be followed. And David said, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? How long? How long? How long? Then he prayed a prayer. He said, consider me, I hear me, O Lord, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lighten my eyes. Lighten my eyes. You need divine direction. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Consider and hear me. Consider and hear me. I say you are confused. You need divine direction. You are at one spot. You need divine direction. You have reached your peak in your career. You need divine direction. You need to move from one workplace to another. You need divine direction. God has told you to go into business. You are asking God. In fact, you don't even know what kind of business to go into. You need divine direction. Before I finished service, I started asking God, so am I going to work? What am I actually going to do? And I started hearing clearly that, okay, signals started coming that obviously I was not going to work. I was just going to go into business straight. I knew it was going to be a hell of a headache because My parents had sent me to a private university, and you wouldn't now come and start to hustle. So I knew that one thing I have to do is I have to move out of my father's house as fast as possible. So when I came back, I said, okay, I started a business, but don't worry, I'm looking for work. I'm looking for a job. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, half an hour. Okay, you have to leave this house. Because my father is a stern choleric. And if it's not his way, it is not his way. So you have to leave this house. And obviously, I had gotten instruction for God. So I obviously thought of the worst as well, because I knew it was obviously going to be, you have to leave the house. So I started looking for my options. And I started the business, and I asked, so what kind of business? Okay, God said, okay, it's going to be a laundry business. Okay, where is it going to be? What are the resources that at my disposal? How am I going to run it? What are the customers I'm going to... I asked all these questions to the last detail. And I wrote it down. I came to Lagos and I started running. 3 months, it was a struggle. Immediately after 3 months, the business picked up. I'm saying this because I, for one, have gone to business school. Business schools teach a lot of theory. They teach a lot of human wisdom. If you don't have direction from God, don't try it. Don't try it. I can remember a time I went into a certain business and I didn't get clear instruction from God. It's the year I've ever been in debt than ever. I went into debt up until the extent that I didn't even know if I was Christian or not. Because I was telling all kind of lies. So the person called me and asked for his money. I said, okay, I'm not in Lagos right now. And I'm in Lagos. You did not hear from God. You went into. Because you think that there is money in this business. I was indebted to my teeth. At the end of the day, even the business I went into, the equipment, let me just even say it, it was a transportation business. The car knocked. And I sold the car for a scrap value. Charles was there. He came to help me check the car. He said there is no hope. I sold the car for a scrap value. I did not get clear instruction from God. One wrong step. Thank God I realized early. And I went and sold the car. If I was still saying I can do it. But you can't be persistent at what God did not tell you to do. You can't. You cannot. You can't. Let's go on. Number two, why do I need divine direction? Number two, why do I need divine direction? The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. Proverbs 16:25. It also says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If Solomon wrote this twice, we should think twice. There is a way and there is the way. There is a way and there is the way to go. There is a way and there is the way to go. There is a way and there is the way to go. What is God saying? There is the way to go. It is the way to go that also end up in the way of death. It is the way. There is a way and there is a way to go. Why do I need divine direction? There is a way and there is the way. I want the way. Jesus Christ did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. I am the way. I want the way. Number three, Why do I need divine direction? The voice of the stranger, John 10:1-5. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice." Why do I need divine direction? To distinguish the stranger's voice from the shepherd's voice. To distinguish the stranger's voice from the shepherd's voice. They said they know the voice of the stranger from the shepherd. So a stranger, they will not follow. A stranger, they will not follow. Why do I need that divine direction? Number four, to know the details of my assignment. To know the details of my assignment. 1 Samuel 30:1-3. It says, "And it came to pass, men came to Ziklag." Just please, fast forward to verse 8, please, for the sake of time. It says, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue? Shall I pursue after this trip? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, saying, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake, and without fail recover all. For thou shalt surely overtake, and without fail recover all." Your assignment cannot be completed on the basis of assumption. We need to inquire from God. It is not assuming. God says you should start a cake business, and you think it is to begin to bake cake that it entails. Am I to go into delivery of cakes? Am I to set up an online shop? We need to inquire. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, "Pursue, for thou shalt..." See, it's very important. The cow that thinks he knows his way to Lagos, he will end up in destruction. "I thought I knew my way. God had led me into the business the first time. He said, do laundry. After laundry, laundry was going well. I said transportation. I thought I knew my way. I ended up in debt." It's very important. Let's inquire. God did not lead me there. Talk less of even giving me how to go about it. I was talking to you at the beginning of this year. I came to your house and we were having a discussion. And I said I have some money. I wanted to put it into something. I didn't get back to you because I didn't get a go ahead from God. At length, it's not because the business is doing well. It's not because everybody is there. Let's hear from God. It is very important to know the details of how to carry it out. We are to make inquiries on everything that pertains to the assignment. As far as you can see, everything that pertains to the assignment, you have to make inquiries of it. Exodus 3. These were the particular questions that Moses asked when God was sending him. The first question was, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And God answered him. Verse 12. He said, "Who am I?" God answered him. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and thou shalt be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." He says, "Who am I?" God answered him in the next verse. The second set question was, "Who sent me?" He says, "If I get there, what will I answer? Who will I say sent me? Who will I..." A messenger does not go without a message. "Who will I say sent me?" He says, and he said, "Certainly..." Oh, sorry. The next. 3:13. And Moses said, "Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am. And he that said, thus shalt thou say unto me, the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you." Make inquiries. Moses asks, "Who am I that I should go? Who sent me? What will I say when they ask me who sent me?" The next one, Moses was asking, what if they don't believe me? Exodus 4:1. Moses asked, Moses asked four important questions. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord had not appeared unto me. And the Lord said unto him, what is it in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, what if they don't believe me? He said, show them the rod. They don't still believe you. Throw the rod down. The last question, Moses asked, he said, what of my inability? What of my mouth? I'm not eloquent. He asked, what of my mouth? Exodus 4 verse 10. What of my mouth? I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And God answered him. And the Lord said unto him, who had made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? That's all. Now therefore, go, I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Make inquiries. Make inquiries. Moses asked, who am I? Who sent me? What if they don't believe me? What of my mouth? I'm not eloquent. Make inquiries. You are going on the journey. You don't know the road there. You don't know the name of the street. You don't know how to get there. You stop your car and you ask. Make inquiries. You get to the next turning and you ask. Why should we think that God is a dumb or deaf or blind that we can't ask? Make inquiries. It's not enough to know what to do. We need to know how to do it. We are to build according to pattern. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Like I said earlier, it's not enough to go into any kind of business. You have to know what kind of business you are supposed to go into. Number five, why do we need divine direction? To know the perfect timing. To know the perfect timing. Exodus 3:1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. We have to know the perfect timing. Moses stepped out before his time and he ran away. There is a season and a time. There is a season and a time. Habakkuk 2:3. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. My emphasis is for an appointed time. There is a season and a time to know the perfect timing. Timing is very important in the pursuit of God's leading. Understanding the time is a sign of maturity. You won't give pepper to a baby. You won't. But you might give it to him when he starts to clock 2, when he starts to clock 3. But you won't give it to him when he's 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. You won't. So why should you step out immediately like that? Understand the perfect timing. It's for an appointed time. It's for an appointed time. It's for an appointed time. Luke 2:49. Jesus was saying, I must be about my father's business. They were looking for him. He said, I must be about my father's business. John 2 verse 4. He says, my hour is not yet come. The woman told him, you can do something here. We have a problem here. He said, my hour is not yet come. My hour is not yet come. Understand the timing. We can't just launch out on destiny like that. Understand the timing. Understand the timing. So how do I get divine direction from God? How do I get divine direction from God? Number one, meekness. How do I get divine direction from God? It says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The posture of humility, surrender, reckless abandon, dependency helps us to get instructions from God. The posture of humility, reckless abandon, surrender, it helps us to get instructions from God. That you think you can do it on your own, perhaps you are proud. You're actually proud. Meekness. Psalm 103, verse 7. So he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Why? He was recorded in Numbers 12:3 that Moses was now, he says, now Moses was the meekest man. The Bible says he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel, like Pastor Barra was saying, give me rice. No, I want jollof rice. I want fried rice. See, those ones, he just said, don't worry. I will show you the power. I will show you the signs and wonders. But my servant Moses, he says, face to face. Face to face. That's how I speak to him. So I show him my ways. I speak to him face to face. I show him my ways. Moses was a man of meekness. Moses was a man of meekness. He was, God continually was showing him his face. So how do I get divine direction from God? Number two, the fear of God. How do I get divine direction from God? The fear of God. John 1:1. He said, Job was a man that eschewed evil. He feared God and eschewed evil. How do I get divine direction from God? The fear of God. Psalm 50 verse 10. It says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You have no light and you fear God, stay on God. You have no light. You don't know what to do, but you fear God. Stay on God. He will come true. Stay on God. He will come true. And we saw it at the later part of Job. The Bible said in the beginning that Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. And the Bible says in the later part that he had more, double, because he feared God. We cannot be a people of double standard and expect to hear from God. We can't. We can't. It is important that we uphold the fear of God in our dealings with men, at business, or in our place of work. I told God in one of my consecrations, I said, I commit not to cheat a client. I commit not to supply. I commit not to supply the goods that are not adequate. I will supply the good that is going to be reliable for the client's need, even if it means me not making a profit. I will not suggest an inferior quality that I'm not sure of just to get the job done or to get money, even if I'm desperate or I'm broke. That's what I told God. The fear of God. See, listen to me. It's easy to make money, oh. I've made money. I've seen money. It's easy. But we want wealth for generations.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We heard of Abiola yesterday. We are not hearing of him today. We want wealth for generations. Billy Graham died. His son, his grandson, his great-grandson, all of them intact. We want wealth for generations. Ryan Borky came to Nigeria last year. I heard his son came with him. His grandson was there. See. Please, we can't be a people of double standard. We can't. If the world doesn't approve of it, it can't be done. It cannot. There is no reason to think twice about it. It cannot be done. I called a client and I called a bluff out of him in the course of a week. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not. You won't come and be giving me hypertension at the end of the day. I'm not going to do it. It doesn't pay me. I'm not going to do it. The fear of God. So please, I want to beg you, please, let's not sell the future for the gain and the profit of today. Let's not sell the future. It's not chop and climb out. It's chop and derail your destiny. It's not chop and climb out. Chop it and you derail your destiny. Joseph said, "For I fear God. For I fear God." This grace message, yes, it is biblical. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. But please, please, and please, the fear of God is still paramount. It is not anything goes. We chop and climb out, we chop it, we even chop it with the tithe. It's not anything goes. Oh. I know because I run business. A friend of mine came to me and told me he was struggling in business. This is someone I respect and adore. As at the time when I started business, he was the COO of a multinational, an indigenous company that was thriving. And he was struggling in business. I said, "See, you are not paying tithe. I said, you are not delivering what you have promised your customer. It can't work. The devil is already at your doorstep. You are now inviting him inside again. It can't work. He's at your doorstep. You are inviting him inside. Say, no worry. This one I go chop and clean out. You have invited him already. He will just have everything." It might not sound interesting. It might not sound like what you want to hear. But please, please and please, I won't sell my own future just for the gain of today. Number three, how do I get divine direction? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Habakkuk 2:1 says, "I will set myself upon my watch." I will set myself upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. When Habakkuk was saying this, he proves to me that Habakkuk had prayed. But he still said, "I will set myself upon the watch." A lot of us are finished praying, but we are not watching. A lot of us are finished praying, but we are not watching. So instructions keeps us. He says, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray." Watching requires a lot of sensitivity in your spirit, man.
Yes, yes.
Watching is conditioning your spirit, man, to receive from God. It says, "Watch and pray." Prayer is calling upon God. You may pray all you want, but you have to be watchful, unless you miss the vision. 2 Kings 9:10. Elijah said, "If you see me, you have the double portion. If you see me, if you see me, you will have it." So if he wasn't sensitive enough to see, he wouldn't have had it. Because Elijah wasn't even willing to drop it. He says, "If you see me." Sorry, sir, we have to be sensitive. It's not after praying that we now drive our car off and we turn to 98.5. People that drive know what 98.5 play. You start hearing all the hip hop ray and everything. And your spirit becomes dull. He says, "Watch and pray." You have prayed, then you need to watch. You need to be sensitive. It's in that moment that God seals up instruction in your spirit. Let me rush off. Number four, the Word of God. How do I receive divine direction? How do I get divine direction? The Word of God. Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it during day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It is the word of God that makes the way prosperous. It's the word of God that makes the way smooth. So how do you get divine direction from God? The word of God. The word of God is ultimate. The word of God is paramount. The word of God is key. The Bible says the word of God has been tried 7 times. Sorry, sir. An impression in your heart. An impression in your spirit. Doesn't still validate the word of God on that impression. An impression. You are walking by impression. I perceive, I sense. My instinct is telling me, sorry, sir. It doesn't validate what the word of God is saying at that moment. If the word of God doesn't try that impression, sorry, sir, you can derail and take a detour totally from destiny. If I'm getting an impression, I still go, God, this morning, show me. If I don't see this day, I go the next day. I'm not stepping out. That's the final test. And it's not just one scripture. He's comparing scriptures with scripture. Because line will be upon line, precept will be upon precept. You shall build according to pattern. It is comparing scriptures with scriptures. If the word of God doesn't validate it, sir, please, don't you step out. The fantastic thing about Joshua 1:8 is that it is clear on the word of God and how it's going to make our way prosperous. But it's very clear to instruct us that it should not depart from our mouth. This is how the word of God makes our way prosperous. From Joshua 1:8. It says, don't let it depart from your mouth. It says, meditate. You have to chew the cord. You take it in, you bring it out. Lord, what are you saying? Is this what I am getting from your word? Chew the cord. Meditate. Observation. It says, you have to observe to do all that is written. Observation. Sorry, it's one thing I am learning now. After failing here and there, I have decided to express more caution than zeal. It is not passion. It is not that I have a passion for this. It's not passion, sir. I need to express more caution than zeal. I need to be able to observe to do. Pastor Gbenga will say, Pastor Adeboye, we have seen them today. Bishop David Erepo, we have seen them today. I will say, Dangote, we have seen him today. But he wasn't there yesterday. And I'm not sure if he's going to be there tomorrow. In fact, I don't think he's going to be there tomorrow. It's the word of God that makes our way prosperous. God's word is the surest tool for proving a vision. So when you receive guidance from God, please first illuminate your spirits with God's work, with God's word for a backing before you step out in its pursuit. Please beware that the devil also knows scriptures. And he can quote them to confuse you as well. You know, I once heard a story of a young pastor that said he was studying, and he saw in one place that Elijah, and he began to call himself, "I am the Elijah. I am the Elijah. Elijah." And he went back to the world, and he saw in when John the Baptist was speaking, he says, "Elijah has come." And he took it, okay, Elijah has come. And he went to his pastor said, "See, you are not, because if we are not careful, we will run out." The devil himself came to Satan upon the mountain and was telling him scriptures, and he was quoting back to him. That was the first test. So we have to be careful. The devil himself knows scriptures. That's how we have to be grounded. God's word is the eternal proof for any vision. What did God say to you? That's the, you see, you at the end of the day, I have a friend at business school. She told me when she was going to go into her interior decoration business, she said God told her she's going to be the repairer of the bridge. I said in business school, repairer of the bridge. Isaiah, is it 58. Repairer of the bridge. So she gets stocks in business and she goes back to God. "God, you said I'm going to be the repairer of the bridge." You are going back to God with his word. That same word that cannot come back to him void. It has to accomplish that thing that he has spoken it for. Praise God. Praise God. Lastly, be joyful. Be joyful. The Bible says, "It's with joy that we draw wells, we draw waters out of the well of salvation." The Bible says, "For thou wilt show me the path of life." It says, the path of life. If you don't have the path of life, you are not joyful. "For thou wilt show me the path of life, for in thy presence is fullness of joy." Thou wilt show me the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. You don't have the path. You don't know the path. And you are walking in depression. You are still speaking grammar on it. That no, I'm just sad today. No, I'm not just myself today. Sorry, sir. You can't receive direction from God. Be joyful. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In closing, media, please help me. 2 Samuel 18. 2 Samuel 18. Verse 19. Okay, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings. How that the Lord hath avenged me of how that the Lord has avenged him of his enemies." Next verse. And Joab said unto him, "Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Next verse. Then said Joab to Cushi, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Next verse. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" Next verse. "But howsoever," said he, "let me run." You don't get message, you are running. To where? And he said to him, "Oh yeah, run now." Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain. He even overran Cushi. One with the message. Next verse. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof went up to the roof over the gate onto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried, please, we are seeing the watchman. The watchman was sensitive. Someone was running. Someone was coming with a message. We have to be sensitive to the message that is coming from God. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be thou, Lord, thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. How come? So what were you running for? You will not run the race of Ahimaaz. Please tell your neighbor, you will not run the race of Ahimaaz. Next verse. Next verse. And the king said unto him, turn aside, stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. Next verse. And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as the young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber. Blah, 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 blah. Yorubas will say, Ashoroshen kontolon ulowosi. It is difficult to do what God does not have a hand in. It is difficult. It is difficult. So that's why I like that song that the choir was ministering this morning, and I want us to sing that song again. It says, and step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you.